So with 2018, what do you guys think about it? Like, I thought it came across like a legit sequel. If none of the other sequels ever happened, I felt like it was a great legit sequel to the very first movie. What do you guys think about it?
So we talked about it, and I think it's a great movie. But my thing with them not being brother and sister makes it her as equally as a stalker as Michael was in part one, almost like a role reversal that she's stalking him.
Yep.
And it kind of defeats the Laurie Strode that I know and love. In, you know what I'm saying? Like in my mind canon. I like the way she was portrayed. Portrayed in Halloween 20. I feel that's a more Laurie Strode than this one. This one is just... They try to make her a superhero or make her an extremist, and it just didn't... I love her acting in it. I just don't like the character.
And see, for me, I actually like this take on it as much as H2O, maybe a little bit more, because I like the fact her hair is long. So now I feel like physically, she does resemble Laurie Strode even more, which I do appreciate. I like the fact that she is a victim of what happened in 1978 that she never recovered from. She was permanently damaged from this encounter, right? And I agree with Spawn. Yes, she's also as much of a stalker as Michael Myers is, but that's because she's mentally fucked from her incident. You know what I mean? She never got over that. You can tell, and that's a recurring theme throughout this whole movie. She never got over her paranoia, and it's always haunted with her and stayed with her. You know what? And I'm gonna try to convey this the best way I can. You know what I like about this movie too? There's this comic book called The Dark Knight Returns. It's based on Batman, right? And what I love about the storyline. The premise of the movie is that no matter how old we get, we can't change who we are. We always have a fire or demon inside of us that we will always be who we are no matter how old we can. No matter how old we get, we cannot change who we are. And I liked how we've seen that lately in Rocky movies, Rambo, even the Terminator. Yeah, he's playing a different Terminator, but we're still seeing Schwarzenegger come back being nothing else of what he can be. You know what I mean? Like, no matter how old he gets, he will always be this person. And it was finally great to see a horror movie iteration of that particular storyline done with Michael Myers. We never saw old man Jason Voorhees or old man Freddy Krueger, and I don't know if I even need to, but I did want to see, I didn't know I wanted to see an old man version of Michael Myers, and I'm glad I did. And it was crazy because, you know, people may have issues with the mask, but what I like about the mask in this movie as well too, the mask aged with him, so it changed. So I finally see an old man version of Michael Myers. You know, and I liked how in the setup of the movie, when these journalists go do an interview, right? Everybody's in a circle. All these patients are in their own little square for a security reason. And it's crazy how they felt something was awry and wrong or forthcoming when they showed up the mask and they all started panicking. And then you realize
right.
How powerful Michael Myers must be that they're scared of this guy. You right. know what I mean?
And it reminded me, real quick, sorry, I'll let you go back to it. It reminded me of when the inmates are going crazy. It reminds me of when all the animals go crazy.
Yes, exactly. Because they're sensing.
When the omen, where Damien shows up. And
because
the omen
they
at the
sense
zoo,
evil.
And they sense the evil, exactly. Go ahead.
And you know what's crazy? They must have known something was inside this guy was going to awaken. When they showed the mask and they realized they lit the fucking match to a fucking a gasoline can right there. Because that's when all that activated him, you know what I mean?
Right.
When those guys walked off after the interview and they realized he didn't have a reaction, they didn't realize that he doesn't show reactions like you and I will show reaction. Right. And it's crazy how that movie then, what happened in 1978, happened again in 2018 on that bus so he can get away. Like he went out. And let me ask you this.
I have a theory about that bus, but go ahead.
I like how he was much more vicious in this one.
Oh, the kills were indelible. I think they're incredible. Probably the strongest of the franchise.
I felt like they awoken a demon in this guy again, and he's just coming back. Whatever he could not do for the last 40 years, he's hell on wheels at this point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's going to pick up where he left off, and there's nothing but viciousness. No emotion to it. He's not even trying to fuck around with you anymore. He just wants to fucking eat and do damage, which is just fucking awesome to see.
Right.
And his strength is insane, too.
He got that old man strength.
Yes.
Like when I would try to wrestle my grandpa when I was a teenager, and I'm like, damn, this motherfucker's strong. He don't look like he could fuck me up, but he's like twisting my arm off and shit, you know?
Oh, yeah, I like how the little details where you see his damaged eye from the first movie, from the hangar injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know? What else did you want to add to that?
Well, I like the opening scene. I love seeing Smith's Grove in the daytime. I thought that was new.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way it looked, the color schemes of that shit.
They did show in the daytime briefly when? Halloween 1 when he escaped.
Oh, but no. But I'm talking about like with you know, full tilt. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah. The reveal of the mask reminded me of The Omen. The intro with Laurie, and even though it was Jamie Lee Curtis playing Laurie, again, it felt, her version of Laurie in 2018 felt unfamiliar to me. It wasn't, I didn't feel like when she came back in 1998, it was familiar. But when she came back in this one, it just wasn't familiar. Acting wise, she's amazing. But just her version, this version of Laurie was very unfamiliar. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not sure.
For me, it was the other way around when comparing H2O to 2018.
The dialogue with her family was very Rob Zombie-ish. Like, the way they talked. It wasn't like real people talking.
No, because I think it leads into the fact that her daughter had a love-hate relationship with her mother because of her childhood.
Not that.
That's what I felt.
Their dialogue was very Rob Zombie-ish.
I felt that it was very Rob Zombie-ish in that scene you guys just mentioned with the podcasters going to talk to him at the prison and everybody around was freaking out.
Right. Ooh. Yeah.
To me, that was zombie-ish.
Right.
But
I thought, her, Jamie Lee Curtis's acting probably its strongest in her career. Her acting at the dinner scene where she's drunk and she's frazzled. My theory is that she is the one behind the whole bus. I think she
That would be dope.
That's possible.
I think that's why she's so frazzled and that's why she's crying hysterically.
The Spawn might be onto something because she made it somewhat of a confession saying, I couldn't do it. I couldn't go through with it. I seen him. I saw him go on the bus. I couldn't go through with it.
Right.
So was she doing a half confession at that point?
Right. I like that theory. I never thought about that.
That's what I thought.
We've always wanted that to see. We want to see her do that.
Right.
But then to go back, though, we realized it was really the doctor on the bus that did that.
The bus scene where everyone's just like ranting and the dad's running with the
great,
son.
Great
one
homage.
Of the greatest scenes.
But it was a great homage to the first movie,
right,
too, though.
Right, when everyone's just walking around. I thought that was great. Michael killing a kid, which is the first time we've ever seen that.
Oh my lord, yeah, that was vicious.
I thought that was fucking great.
No remorse to just not even trying to trick or treat him. Just kind of
just old man, just like, okay, so.
Like he's hungry.
Time out. Okay, so remember in part 4 of Friday the 13th, what was the guy who played. Freddy in that, I mean Jason in that one. What was the actor that played in part 4?
4?
Yeah.
He was like an old school
stunt
guy.
Right. Yeah. So you know how he was talking about Corey Haim getting on his nerves and him just wanted to yoke. That's how I imagine him in real life wanted to yoke up Corey Haim.
That's horrible. But what I you know it's funny though, I take away from this movie that he was just hungry. Like he was just wanting to eat.
Right.
Like he didn't want to, he has no time to fuck around. He just wants to get busy with it and just taking names and numbers.
I think this was the youngest kill in the franchise's history.
Yeah,
was this kid.
Jamie Lloyd would have been the first one, but he never
got her. Yeah, he never even got the stuttering kid from five.
Oh, you're messed up.
Richard Brooker, maybe?
Was that the one from part 4?
Maybe.
No,
wasn't Brooker from part 3?
Steve Dash, too.
So the killer from part 4
is
Corey Haim was getting on his nerves and he wanted just to yoke him up, and that's how I imagine it. Another bathroom scene, you know, whatever.
That one, I thought that was paid great homage.
It was like the sixth bathroom scene.
But see, it was cool. But let me ask you this, though. I thought that was a great homage to H2O, and I wonder when they wrote the movie, I wonder if they liked that scene, but they would that.
Well, they did it again in Zombie. There's a bathroom scene in Zombie.
Oh, no doubt. But I wonder, I thought the scene in 2018 most closely resembled that of the H2O, and I wonder if the filmmakers thought, I like that scene, but I wish they would have punched it up more. And I wonder that's why they punched it up even more by dropping the teeth on there.
Right, that was dope.
Because it kind of played out very similar to a certain point, like AJ did in H2O, except for he didn't walk out. He dropped the teeth and let her know that she wasn't going to get away with that.
Right.
So again, I wonder if they liked that scene in H2O, but wish they would have punched it up and decided they're going to redo that scene themselves and show how they wanted to see it done.
Yeah, I thought it... great kills. The scene where he's pulling on the mask, dude, that's iconic to me.
Yep.
I think that's just...
That's because
I think that'll go down
in... He's basically, when Superman puts on his cape, that's him putting on the mask, he's becoming whole again.
Right. I think that'll go down in history, one of the best scenes in the franchise history, just putting on that mask one more time. I think
he's
that's
whole
brilliant.
Again.
The killing spree that where he's in the neighborhood is probably the best of the franchise, hands down.
Oh, dude, he's just fucking people randomly.
He's, you know, like, he's just going at the house to house to house killing.
Not even wasting
the turkey time. Sandwich chick gets it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and they kind of shit.
Dude, that was the scene when he grabbed her and stabbed her through the throat. There's this guy. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, the thing with that is that he... So, like, when they were getting ready to do this movie, they were kind of shitting on the rest of the franchise, and they were talking about 2 and blah, 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 blah. But they took a lot of 2, like, with the ham lady. So, the ham lady finally gets it. I thought that was dope. He gets his knife back. You remember, like, when he puts the knife down? He puts the hammer down, yeah, takes the knife, you know. His old man's strength, I thought was dope. I remember the audience gasped, because I saw it in the theater. When he looks into He looks into the baby cradle.
Yeah.
And he just turns away. The audience really thought, because the stakes were high, he killed the kid, all bets were off in this one. And I love that.
But I think he left the baby alone because it didn't matter to him. He was like, it wasn't...
Right.
It was nothing one way or another. He just didn't think anything of it.
Right. So this one contradicts, and we talked about it, where you have the unlikable characters. And so I admit that I... contradict myself. I really wanted him to kill Cameron Elam's really bad. That was the boyfriend that threw the fucking phone in the... Yeah. I was like, please, I can't wait. Me and my son, we looked at each other, we were like, I can't wait for him to get it. But hopefully he'll get it in this one. I felt bad that the friend got it. You know, he was just walking the girl home, even though he tried to kiss her.
Oh, he's
know.
A lop.
I just felt bad, though. You know, he was trying to be a nice guy, even though
he wasn't trying to be nice. He wanted to get some. He wanted to get some from her. That's why he walked her home.
A lot of girls.
Oh, I know a shortcut. Yeah. And then she called him out on his bullshit.
Well, I just felt bad.
Yeah, fuck him.
You know,
great actor, though. I mean, for the actor to provoke that emotion, you did your job. So.
Lonnie Ellum was one of the bullies that bullied Tommy Doyle, and that's his son, Cameron.
Right.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So
they talk about him in the dinner scene, right?
Right.
Me and your dad used to.
And then the babysitter, you like the character automatically. You don't want to see nothing happen to her with the little kid. That was dope. The fucking scene where he pushes the door. And then fucking Mike pops out. All right, so that Dr. Sartain or whatever, that guy... I don't remember Mustafa Akkad on the documentary that you're talking about, but I always felt that this was like a nod to him. I don't know.
I didn't see that way.
But again, I don't remember Mustafa Akkad. I don't know if that looked, you know.
No. I just, okay. You know, I think it was a great character to fill in that void of Dr. Loomis. I think that's what he was designed to be. Except for a Dr. Loomis that gone wrong. He was more like a Dr. Loomis that went wrong.
He was a mad scientist in this one.
But he was responsible for the bus crash, though, because he wanted to watch Myers.
That's what I always thought. Yeah.
No, because, he admitted to it. He copped to it. Like, he couldn't
get... Oh, he did say that?
Yeah, he couldn't get...
I don't remember him saying that.
He couldn't get anything else out of Myers, but he's been so deep in the case that he had to watch him. Loomis had something over him that he didn't have. Loomis got to see him in the wild. Mm-hmm. So that's what he did. He wanted to study Michael Myers in the wild, because he... hit a brick wall. He can only get so far with him being captive, right, so that's why he did it, to watch him.
I thought the motion sensor kill was fucking great.
Oh, that was... Yeah, that was...
You're not feeling that one?
It was good.
At least it was different and it was new. I mean, he could come up to someone and stab him. We've seen it 1,000 times, but this was something different, I thought, and I dug that.
It was a cool little moment.
Right.
Let me ask you guys this before we go any further.
Now, okay, go ahead.
What do you think of the opening sequence homage to the first Halloween with the pumpkin decaying and coming
back to life? Oh, yeah. That was my favorite. I remember I called you on the phone and I told you about that. Because usually I don't do spoilers, but he's cool with spoilers.
Yeah.
But I said, dude, you're going to love the intro.
Because it was symbolic to Michael Myers saying he's coming back from the dead to come back for this. I mean, because the pumpkin was already decayed and they came back again. That's kind of like how Michael Myers was. The mask brought him back.
Yeah, it's a good concept.
So I didn't like... where it falls off the rails for me is when the doctor killed the sheriff. It took me out of it.
I liked it, because I thought, like I said,
the evil Loomis thing is whack to me. I'm not a fan of it.
I was cool with it because it flipped the concept on its head.
Yeah, nah. The cop's dialogue with the whole sandwich shit was garbage.
Very reminiscent of H5, right?
Yeah, very reminiscent of H5. When Mike stomped dude's head,
that was dope.
That was zombie. Yeah.
Which is fair, because I think they took a lot of things they liked from the prior series, which is fine.
Right. So, Now, was okay, so there was a model in Lori's house of a house. Was that the Myers house?
That's
was
what
that
I,
Tommy?
That's how
that was Tommy Doyle's house.
I thought that was the
I thought it was
Tommy
the
Doyle's house.
Was it Tommy Doyle's?
Okay. To me, it reminded me of Tommy Doyle's house.
I'd have to look into that.
Okay.
I had questions about that house anyway.
Right. And then I would say it would probably make sense if it was Tommy Doyle's because that's when her whole life changed.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because it wouldn't make sense if it was the Myers house.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Right. Why would it be? Right.
Okay, so then the face-off with Mike and Lori, I thought was fucking epic. You know what I'm saying? Even though I'm not crazy about this particular Lori, I thought it was fun. And the only thing is that him getting his hand shot off.
I like
that. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I don't know. That it kind of, I don't know. I was already kind of taken out because of the whole Dr. Evil thing. But again, them having so much animosity towards each other without being brother and sister is not, it just doesn't do it for me. It's just two strangers, and why wouldn't neither one of them move on?
They have history because he sees that his victim lived and she has something against the killer.
Who says that? Who said that? Who said that? How would we know that?
Question before
watch
I
the
forget.
First movie.
Question before I answer.
No. But why would I watched the first movie? But where would it say that he feels like his job wasn't complete in Haddonfield unless there's Loomis there to narrate it going forward?
Well, you don't have to have narrated.
So here it's she's the one.
Okay, explain to me then. Here's what I want to know before I forget. Mm-hmm. Why would this Laurie Strode from Halloween 2018 drive away from the burning house? This Laurie Strode would want to see his body burnt.
She had no choice. Yes. Her daughter and granddaughter dragged her away from
no
him.
It doesn't matter.
Way. There's no way.
She's too headstrong.
There's no way she's going to just
drive
away.
Yeah, but her daughter
away.
Was... But I believe her daughter... She put her granddaughter and her daughter first in this instance. She put their safety before Michael Myers, and that's why she did that.
She would have put them on the truck. She would have stayed there.
She would have walked back, in my opinion. I'm like, why is she driving away?
Yep.
She spent 40 years training.
Right, and now look at Michael. Look at the Laurie Strode in age 20. She puts
She'd have went back.
Right. She puts the kids on the thing. Get the fuck out of here. And then she has the axe. Exactly. That's why the 20 is superior to the 2008.
Okay, and here's my rebuttal.
Okay.
So you already saw that scenario played out in H2O. This is the other scenario being played out in 2018 where she didn't stay and finish it. So we saw two versions of the same scenario. All of them are plausible. But again, too, you don't want to have a repeat of H2O either. And two, from a filmmaking perspective, they were only in this movie as a one-shot, right? But during the making of it, they had so many ideas that they were hoping they would get greenlit for a sequel. So they did certain things intentionally.
But,
so should they have a sequel, they can build off of that.
But see, it wouldn't have been a repeat of H2O because in H2O, he was very much alive.
Right.
I think this Laurie would want to go see his dead body burnt up.
Yep.
In my opinion.
I totally agree.
No, I agreed. But again, it goes back to the filmmakers who wanted to do another sequel to this because they had so many ideas. So they said they made alterations to the script to where if it was a one-off, it could still be a one-off. But if they got the greenlit for a sequel, they could do that. And I think that was one of the decisions they did when they altered the script because they had so many ideas that they removed ideas from the original script for a sequel should they have one. So everything was kind of planned out in advance.
I think they should have done something different because a Laurie Strode that's been training for 40 years with dummies in her backyard and guns and traps in the house.
No, that's plausible. That's
I just can't see her... Unless leaving. She was mortally wounded. But she was bleeding, but she was fine. I just think she would have wanted to see Michael dead.
Absolutely.
In my opinion.
And it's all plausible, you know what I mean? We don't know. I mean, you can argue the fact that, hey, even though she's headstrong, she's also a mother and very protective. You brought that up, too. She's also very protective of her children. And maybe she just put her children first because she already has a damaged relationship with them and didn't want to leave him anymore.
I don't buy it. I think she should have stayed there to watch it burn. But if you know, again, with the whole sequel thing, whatever, that's fine.
Right.
But that Laurie Strode would have stayed and watched it burn.
But again, that's a different story, though. We saw that scenario play out. But again, we've already been through this road.
One more thing is, I do like when she's the daughter swerved Mike because you know he's a killer and he likes when you're vulnerable. He likes when you're scared.
Yeah, she goes like, "I got you."
She's like, "Ah," and she got you. Boom, you know that was fucking super dope. Whoever wrote that came up with that. Great job. That was fucking hard.
What do you got, V?
Nothing. What do you got? Loved it.
Now your turn. What do you got? I know you have.
Yeah.
Oh, let me ask one more thing.
Yeah.
What do you think about it just being called Halloween? Like, if it's supposed to be a reboot, I always felt that it should have been called Michael Myers. Anything would have been better than...
Yeah, but they did the same thing with this thing, though, where the 2011 thing
but
was
that,
called the thing.
Yeah, now you got three movies called Halloween.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I guess if it's a sequel to the first one, right?
Right.
And they threw in 2018, I guess. Maybe it should have been Halloween.
I think the fans threw in 2018.
They may do the George Lucas thing and retitle it after the sequel comes out.
I just think for me, I had a problem with the jump. I had a problem with them not being brother and sister.
Right. I always had that problem.
You didn't think that was cool, like a refreshing retake? Because the brother sister thing has already been played out in the main continuity and as well as the zombie universe.
That's a good point.
I don't feel it's played out. I think that's essential. I think that's essential.
We've already been down that road, though.
I just think, for me, I had problems with a few things, actually. I've been very critical of this movie. A lot of misplaced humor that diffuses the terror and the horror in the scene, right. Like the jokes that the kid was saying. And how do you go into a house by yourself
right.
in 2018
right.
without any backup, right. with Michael Myers out?
Right. Out of all the police, including the zombie ones, I think the police for 2018 were the most inept. And even over the stupid clown music.
I would agree with you in the fact that in 2018 there should have been much more cops fishing around. But again, storytelling purposes.
Why is Michael in a house that's not Lori's in the closet and they're not brother and sister? Why is he there looking for Lori?
Right.
You know, why don't the podcasters know in this day and age that the bus flipped? Right. They don't know the next morning. They're at the cemetery. Remember with that lady? I mean, there are a lot of things to me. Why is Michael, 6-7 inches taller if it's the same Michael?
Right.
And he was damn near an adult when we last saw him in 78. There were just things that bothered me, man. The score was good. I thought,
John Carpenter came back John with the
song. I thought the kills were great. The kills were good.
The kills were cool. Yeah, they were good. A lot of the dialogue was just real, just corny.
Very zombie dialogue.
And corny and loppy. And I don't need a high school dance. I don't need a high school element. This is a showdown. It should have been a showdown between, again, I'm going to revert back to H2O. A showdown between Lori and her brother.
But it showed three generations of Strobes, though. The granddaughter, the daughter,
which I didn't need. Well, for me, I didn't need it. This was about Lori Strode. Enough with branching out on the family. Enough. Enough with high school shit.
Yeah,
we're trying to show an aged Michael Myers, an aged Mask. Why are we reverting back to teens again?
Yep.
If it's already been done.
It's a staple to the series.
But so is everything else then.
So is
the brother and sister.
Agreed, but I mean, it's a staple to slasher films in general as well, too.
Right.
And again, it kind of gives you a little bit more, because I think it was just focused on Lori, we wouldn't have that much of a story. I think with the inclusion of the daughter and granddaughter, it gives us a little bit more of a story to eat on, that's all.
Okay.
But that's me, though.
Oh, yeah, it's all subjective, man. I mean, I think the Judy Greer character was terrible.
Yeah. Until the end. Then she redeemed herself in that 10 seconds.
In the moment, yeah.
It made me enjoy the character.
Agreed. The boyfriend and his friend.
Oh yeah.
Were just
douchey.
We didn't. In my opinion, we didn't need it, man.
Right.
I mean, let's
That's what I'm saying. Like, enough with the douchey characters at this point in horror. Just get them to where you care about all the characters. Halloween 1 did that formula. Scream 1 did that formula. Nightmare on Elm Street, the original, did that formula. Nightmare on Elm Street 3 did that formula. Where you care about all the characters, where when they dies, the stakes are higher. I just want that going forward.
Another thing, man, the Dr. Sartain character. Terrible. He's going to stab. Okay, Yeshua, you want to have a little twist there, and then the twist dies The twist dies in 30 seconds.
Right.
Okay, and it's very reminiscent of Halloween 6 in that there was one, there almost like a cult.
Right.
He wanted to see and document Michael and his evil.
Right.
You know what I mean? So to me, it kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah. Like, no one wanted to see Ramirez and his evil. No one wanted to see fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just, the realism went away the minute he betrayed and killed the sheriff. The realism of that movie just took a shit.
Yeah, when he puts the mask on and pops up, it's comical.
Yeah,
this guy throwing the mask.
We laughed our ass off. I remember laughing at that scene.
My son was like 3 at the time, and he made a comment about it. He was like, "Man, that's not Michael Myers," you know. And I don't know. I mean, I like where it's going. It's not a bad picture,
right?
By any means.
No, it's not. It's great.
You know what I mean?
This is what's great about it.
It's an easy watch for me,
sure.
But it's disposable.
And I love it. I watch it a lot.
Right.
But I have my problems with it.
Which is fine, because this is what true fans will always have these things.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That makes for great conversation.
And it's supposed to be you're not supposed to really, or you're supposed to jump from the first one to this one, right, without any callbacks. The idea was to forget everything in the middle.
So that's why I haven't done that yet, so I want to try it.
But there's a handful of callbacks in this picture.
Right, even the kids that have the Halloween 3 masks.
Sure. Yep. Even the sheet over one of the kills, I think it was the babysitter.
Yep.
To the Bob character. Yep. Well, that was from one.
I like little things. Like, little things like that was cool, because at this point, I mean, we're already,
in the trailer for the next one,
right?
The trailer, the next one, those kids are dead on a merry-go-round, right?
Oh, is that what they? Is that who that
yeah,
was?
Yeah, those were the Halloween three. They all had those masks.
Right. But, so I don't know, V. I mean, you didn't have any issues with the jump or anything with Michael or anything.
I thought it was great. I thought the movie.
Vito likes all of.
The mask was dope. I thought, you know, and I'm a mask critic, like I said, and I thought the mask was good.
You know what I liked about it too? I thought, like I said, I felt like this is the closest it came to the tone of the original, and I like the fact that the filmmakers went with that, but didn't try to emulate Carpenter. They just did it the way they know how to do it, and I think they succeeded for the most part.
Okay.
And I was happy with it. I could watch this one back to back with one.
I haven't tried.
Really, I haven't tried that.
I haven't tried it yet,
which I need to do.
But it plays differently. But playing it back to back with one plays differently than when you play back to back with two, because two is really the other half of the story of one, where this one just picks up 40 years later from one.
I just don't really like I think the Laurie Strode being like a Sarah Connor type would have made more sense if they were siblings.
Yes.
Even though I wasn't a big fan of how she was Sarah Connor-ish in a sense.
I didn't like it either.
I was cool with it one way or another, but again, I've seen it before. Objective though.
So. Oh yeah.
The trailer looked cool. A lot of people are complaining about the new one, the Halloween Kills, that they you know, bust their whole nut.
Well,
the first time.
We're hoping that that's
so
not the case.
That's what I hope too. So.
Okay, welcome back to the 2S Horror Quarters podcast. Today we are doing it a little different because of the circumstances. I want to welcome Vito and Spawny back in the house.
What up? What up?
What's up, motherfuckers? Coming to you live and direct
from La Casa. So what we did here, because Halloween Kills came out after we shot that 4 hours of, you know, all we ran through the omnibus. So this was probably the most practical way to do this. Just do it on Zoom.
Right.
And we are here to discuss Halloween Kills.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
What you got, Spawn? I'm going to let you go
ahead. All right. So I thought it started off dope. I let me start from the beginning. Let me backtrack for a second. I enjoyed it. I didn't hate it and I didn't love it, but there was aspects that I love immensely and there's things that I hated. So I'm going to just start off. I thought it started dope. The urgency was high. You had Cameron on the phone with his buddy who is like centimeters away from him with a spike through his face. You see his phone ringing. I thought that was cool. I was like all aboard. I just felt it it just picked up right away, like a TV show. And I was just all in until the cop opens his fucking mouth and was like, "He needs to die." And it sounded like a sound bite opposed to like the way someone actually talks. Like had he said, "Help me," or "I'm dying here," or some shit, I would have bought it. But the fact that he did like this trailer, like it, now when I say trailer, I mean like a movie trailer type soundbite where it needs to die and I need to kill him, instead of saying, "Call 911. I'm in dire straits here. Help me out." Sure. That kind of threw me out. And I was kind
of
like the
drama of that. I like that dialogue. It's a movie.
That dialogue's corny though. That dialogue is corny.
That wasn't corny.
It's very corny.
It was dramatic. It gets you pumped up. No, it doesn't.
It takes the realism out of it, and it makes it like a comic book movie.
First of all, how are we going to talk about realism?
If I'm watching Luke Cage,
first of all, I'm going to jump in here and say, if it was reality, we would not even be watching this movie. We want this for. But if this is reality, we wouldn't be watching this movie. We want straight fantasy. I love that.
If I want to watch fantasy, I'll put on Lord of the Rings. I want the element of a plausibility.
That went out the door with the original one when he walked away from 6 gunshot wounds.
Anyway. Not exactly. Dude, you're killing the whole good dialogue. The first one, everything was plausible. If that's the case, you might as well just throw it away and just make it.
Like his hand was blown off, and he still like acted like it was no big deal. That's not plausible. He should have burnt
up. When was his hand blown off?
That's not plausible.
Which one? In 1978?
In 2018.
In 1978, he should have died. Let's face it. He fell off a 2-story house with 6 gunshot wounds to the chest. Dude should have fell. Dude should have died.
Yeah, but regardless. If you're gonna make the movie somewhat plausible, then have people talk like the way people talk. Because if not, it becomes Lord of the Rings, which I'm gonna get to. So many fantasy lines that I wrote down that are awful. And now I'm riding with this movie, so you're making me turn against this movie that I'm riding with. I'm just letting you know. So
Mike's still my precious.
All right, so the flashback I thought was cool. Yes. I can take it or leave it. You know, I really didn't.
Yo, let me ask you this.
It was just like, whatever. Hold on a second.
Let me jump in. But before we go any further, let me ask you this. What did you think of the actor who portrayed Donald Pleasance?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get to it. So I thought Loomis was fine. You know what I'm saying? Lonnie getting bullied. The dialogue felt very Rob Zombie-ish. So it didn't really do much for me. Michael in the flashback, I thought was spot on. Everything, the mannerisms, the way he moved.
Yes. You don't think
so? I am Mike talking. I'll pause.
Should I let you go or you want me to jump off?
No, I'll pause for right there. I'll pause right there. Go ahead.
The flashback to me was the dopest part of the film. Mm-hmm. However, it didn't do it for me.
Okay.
To me,
you don't think he moved like Mike?
Well, to me, it didn't really move like Mike. I think that they got the mask. Hey, I'm a mask critic. I want to say the eyes were a little too close together.
No, they were, because I was looking at that.
It felt like a TV version of the flashback.
Right.
Shout out to the filmmakers and everybody, because it's...
Right, of course. Of course, we're fans. We love all of them, you know, except for Resurrection. But, you know...
I love Freddy.
But I thought Loomis, to answer your question, Vito, I thought Loomis was cool. I thought he did a great job. I thought he looked like he sounded like him. I thought it was CGI like they did.
Beep this out.
No, I'm saying when I first saw it, I thought it was CGI like in Rogue One.
Yes, no, it was a combination. So this guy who portrayed Dr. Loomis, I believe he's been a stunt double, or he's somebody in the movies, but never an actor. This was his first acting role. And as for the voiceover, they got someone to do a sound like Donald Pleasance to pull it off. So it was a two combo thing to pull this off to get Dr. Loomis back in the mix.
Was there any CGI involved at all or no?
I'm sure there is. But in terms of Dr. Loomis, there was none from my understanding. They used prosthetics and stuff, but the guy was pretty much spot on for Donald Pleasance.
I was cool with that.
You notice the way they shot it, they didn't really focus too much in on him. They did it just enough to where it didn't give you enough time to. I mean, if you looked at it, you could tell it's not Donald Pleasance.
Right, if you pause it.
They sold it enough to where, like, oh shit, he's in there, you know? And then going in with the mask. So as I was watching it again today on Peacock, shout out to Spawn for loaning me the password. It seemed like the mask might have been a nice compromise between the first and second movie from 78 and 81.
It wasn't a bad mask. Right, no.
I thought it was dope.
It was not bad. You're right. It wasn't a bad mask. But okay, right. It was dope.
All right, so I like the opening scene where everything's frozen and all the cops have the guns on him, and he was standing there just like he did in 78. I dug that part. I thought that was very strong. And then, like, when you fast forward and you see, like, Tommy Doyle, Lonnie, and Lindsay Wallace hanging out, I don't see them hanging out with Marion Chambers, the nurse, but I was happy she was there. She looked great for her age, you know what I'm saying? I like that, their little camaraderie. I dug that.
I think that makes sense because they're survivors of a horrific incident. And who's to say that the nurse of Dr. Loomis didn't reach out to them out of guilt at some point? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, so that's why I wasn't really mad at it. But in my heart of hearts, if that was an actual town, I wouldn't see them hanging out. That's just all I'm saying. But I'm happy that they had it like that.
But before we progress, real quick, let me jump in before we progress, because maybe we can just keep.
Yeah.
I had two issues. Let me see if you guys did with.
Okay.
Michael, first of all, holding another deputy hostage in front. I don't think Michael thinks like that to do that.
I agree.
And two, I don't know that Michael stops on the lawn, guns drawn or not. What say you guys?
I say yes.
I do. I think it's plausible because it shows Michael has never been stupid. If you think about it, go back to the original one. He's smart enough to play games with people. He's calculating.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
He's always, even in the other movies, even if they didn't do it as well, he calculates things. You know what I mean? He likes to fuck with people. He somehow gets his rocks off of this and somehow. He's about the trick of the treat part.
That's fair. Okay.
Yep. So I agree. So they're at the, you know, again at the bar. I wasn't a fan of Tommy Doyle going up and saying his little story, and then the whole power of the more of power beyond any mortal man. Like, who the fuck, again, who the fuck talks that way? And it's just, it
Tommy Doyle.
Tommy Doyle's a dick then. You know what I'm saying?
What? Oh, how dare you? He's a victim in this.
This poor guy. Was that a talent show? Why did he go up there anyway?
I think it was a talent. I think
it was like a talent show, but then all of a sudden he had like spoken word and he had to tell the story about more than, which I could understand, because sometimes when people that were affected by 9/11, they'd speak out and they'd say, you know, say a prayer or say something for the, my friends that you know, were affected in 9/11, or, you know, maybe school shootings. I get that part. It just, the way he talked with the power beyond a mortal man, people don't talk that way, and it takes me out.
It's a movie. It's a fucking movie.
It's not a comic book movie, though. It's not a Star Wars movie. It's not a Lord of the Rings movie.
I hear you, but here's the thing these days, though. Movies are shot this way. Younger audiences like the comic book appeal of it. And if we can do even build off of that, Eve, check this out. Honestly, when I'm watching the kills on this, I'm reminded of John Wick. And like,
well, yeah, we get into that. We talked about that before. Yeah. I'm going to get into that.
And here's the thing. What was John Wick? John Wick was basically a comic book movie without a comic book. And if you think about it, this whole movie was basically like a horror comic with Michael Myers being the anti-hero.
But that's fact, though.
Oh, not even anti-hero. The villain. I thought that shit was dope. Like, to me, it just gave it a fresh perspective.
You're jumping ahead.
Okay, maybe. But I'm just saying, from a visual standpoint, it's modern, and I'm rocking with it.
I think the dialogue is the biggest detriment to this movie. I think it hurts the movie very much. I think the movie, the kills, everything is spot on, and that's why I enjoy it. And when you see my ranking, you'll be surprised on how high it is. But the dialogue kills this movie. Halloween Kills, and the dialogue kills Halloween. So, I mean, it just, that's what's the biggest problem with this. My biggest problem with this movie is the dialogue. Even Wifey was like, why do people, they don't talk, people don't talk like that. So this is supposed to be a real setting. You're supposed to lose yourself in that world, and it takes me out of that world.
V, do you give
a pass? But it's too late, though. It is that
hold on, this is the fact.
Let me ask Vito, do you give a pass to the slogan, evil dies tonight? Just those three words, do you give a pass to that?
Yeah, I was fine, because I think—
Did you really need to ask?
Hear me out, though, on this. I think they used the word evil a few times in the posters or something like that, or something. Now he came home. I think it just alludes to the advertisement, the posters. Like, what I liked about this movie, before we jump too far ahead, it had a lot of Easter eggs for the fans, and I appreciated the approach of it. And, you know, it was dramatic dialogue. It's a movie. Like, to me, it's escapism. We're in an age where, you know, a couple years ago, prior to the pandemic, comic book movies were all the rage. You know, I'm cool with that type of dialogue. And even before then, in the 80s with the sci-fi movies, the Rambos, the sword and sorcerer movies, I'm used to big bravado dialogue. So I'm okay with that, because honestly, this movie was, they made him, you know, it's basically a horror comic book movie. And they made him a badass, and I was totally all for it.
Okay. Anyway, so speaking of which, Michael killing all the firemen and all that shit, take my money, because that's what I was here for. If I can't get good dialogue and a decent story, then fuck it. At least give me mayhem, blood, which was all top notch. That scene right there is one of the all-time best Michael Myers scenes ever.
And there's plenty of them in this movie. Plenty.
You know what I'm saying? If I can't get a good story and dialogue, at least give me good kills, and that's what we got.
And that scene there, you see the wide shots, the coverage in that scene is the total opposite of the end scene when he takes out the mob. It was just kind of like a cheap edit. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, just a close up. So to me, that's the dopest. Well, I did say the flashback is the dopest part of the movie, but the fireman scene is a close second, you know, if not a tie to the movie.
Yeah, because I thought when I saw the trailer, I thought, okay, they're blowing their whole nut, but sure. I was 100% wrong, and I'm glad I was wrong, because that scene was fucking money. I love seeing Haddonfield Memorial again, yes. Updated.
And they got the logos right too. They got the logo, the H and H. That was a dope throwback to too.
Yeah.
In fact, let me ask you this: before we go any further, is it? Did you notice how much it mirrored the original in its own way? It picks up right where the first one left off.
Well, of course. A lot of it takes place
in the hospital because of Laurie's injuries.
Right.
He's even more vicious in this one than he was in 2018, much like Halloween 2 was more vicious than Halloween 1. So I was just saying, I liked how it mirrored, you know, I liked how, and again, going through how there's lime in the lyrics. So we talked about in Star Wars, there's always a formula, right? Zombie did it with this sequel to a degree, and I like how this one followed the same thing too. You know, the hospital setting played a big part in the movie.
Right.
He's a lot more vicious. Laurie is recovering from her injuries. It picks up right when the original left off. I even liked the intro. I liked how, again, they remixed the intro with the pumpkin. And I like how, so during the opening credits, you see all the pumpkins bleeding, right? To me, that represents all the victims of him. And then you see the last pumpkin in flames rotting. To me, that represented his soul. Love that unique idea in keeping with the original. And to a degree, a nice shout out to Halloween 2 with the opening sequence.
Where it picks up right where Laurie's on the truck, or what do you mean?
Well, the whole movie picks. Okay.
You say the opening sequence. The opening sequence was dude on the phone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right. The opening credits. My apologies.
Okay. Yeah. No, I agree.
You know, I know your issues was with the dialogue. I was good with the dialogue, but again. Reviews are always going to be subjective. Fans are always going to have different takes on it. This is what makes this great. Like I said, Spawn had told me, you know, prior to the Zoom, you know, his concerns or his, you know, what he felt about it. So I kind of went in there with, I wasn't too sure about the movie. Like, man. So we had my folks over, my daughter was over, you know, wifey and I were posted up watching the movie, and I thought it was dope. Wifey, however, She thought 2018 more. She thought it was more suspenseful, and that's something you and I had talked about too, where this is more brutal. The 2018 was more suspenseful, but again, it also coincides what we talked about in 1978, 1981. You know, Carpenter picked up the violence and made it more brutal. The natural progression, you know, and it seemed like he's already on the loose. Hal's broken loose. He's just not holding back no more. You know what I mean? He's just tearing through town, and he's enjoying what he's doing. He likes fucking people up. I thought the cinematography was great. I love how the scene, the violence in this movie was almost like the equivalent to a comic book, the way, like John Wick, he was just fucking people up, and it was staged and choreographed so tight. This movie did something I didn't think they could do, and they made a much more brutal Halloween movie over Rob Zombie, and I'm a huge Rob Zombie fan. Shout out to Rob Zombie. I love Rob Zombie's take on Halloween, and I was surprised they even raised it up a notch, because to me, Rob, I didn't think Rob Zombie could be topped, and they actually did it, and I was really happy with the results.
Right. So that's why I have like one of the positives, Michael killing the elderly couple. Tension, or if I can't get good dialogue, at least give me top-notch kills, and that's what they provided. Michael using the dude as a human pincushion to try to see.
What do you think about that? To me,
I just thought that was incredible.
What do you think of his movement? Let me ask you this: to me, when I saw that scene, it reminded me of the first movie because it seemed kind of childlike of him. Go back and watch the first movie. He does certain things that is almost childlike in his behavior and movements, and I felt that was very childlike of him too. Like he's enjoying that. Like he's not seeing that as a human. He's just puncturing that like a fucking toy, you know what I mean?
Right.
With no remorse. No,
I dug that.
That was just, and it just showed you just, at his essence, how vicious this being is, you know what I mean? I can't even call him a person at this point. And another thing I like, as the movie progresses, and this is something that Zombie did in his as well too, the more the mask deteriorates, the darker and grimier he gets. It's like the mask is a reflection of how darker he's getting in this, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I thought that shit was dope.
I totally agree. I like seeing Brackett again.
That was awesome.
And then I like seeing Karen and Allison unwind and start to process what happened with their husband and father. I thought that was needed because it kind of like he died and, you know, the urgency, of course.
They still did that because today when I was watching it before we did this, I'm going to have to side with Ian this one. If I was to play the role of realism, even though I'm going to sound hypocrite on this, I was kind of let down because there was a good emotional moment when she's in the car with her boyfriend Cameron and her father. What was her father's name again?
Lonnie.
And the father is telling her a story of her dad, and you see her getting teary-eyed, right? But then it cuts over to Cameron when they realize where he's heading to, and then the actress stops the emotion, and the camera's still on her, even though it's not focused on her. She's still in the background. I kind of felt let down. I wish she would have kept that emotional aspect up, because I think.
But she had to switch. She had to switch. She had to turn the switch.
But when you lose your parent, you're not going to switch.
I totally get that. But it was go time.
No, I agree. I just kind of, if I'm going to be nitpicky, the one thing I had a nitpick would be I kind of wish she would have kept the emotional aspect of it, because I think the movie would have hit that much harder in terms of the aftermath of the violence that her family went through and her loss. That's the only thing, because even her mom, Karen, was talking to, Lori about it and saying, I lost Ray. And you would think if you lost your husband, you'd be much more emotionally impacted. But again, that's just me wanting that emotional moment. I know the movie's not reality. I know this is a fantasy, right? But sometimes in a fantasy movie, you still kind of want to hit the emotional notes because it just gives it that much more heart. But that's for me, though. Right. This is all subjective. This is just what I wish. But as a fan, I'm not going to say that. That's a minor thing to me. I still love this fucking movie. I'm still at a 9.5.
It could grow. We'll get to our ratings. You're jumping ahead again. So the part at the bar, when you see the news and you see the escape patient, one looks like the Penguin from the 1992 Batman Returns, and then you see Michael Myers out of the shot. I knew that there was going to be something happen where they think the Penguin is Michael Myers, and it was going to be all this chaos, even though I had no extent on how far they were going to take that. And then when the nurse says, evil must die tonight, that shit's, leave that shit on a poster. Don't put that in the dialogue. Right. No one talks like that. Again, the dialogue hurts this movie.
I want that on a t-shirt.
Tattoo on your neck, bro.
Vito said Dangertainment on the...
Yeah, yeah, get that Dangertainment and then evil must die.
Yes, we need that on a t-shirt.
No, you need that.
I do. We got to talk to Middleman about some props here.
Yeah. Hey, Bracket. Real quick, Bracket to me was like shoehorned in. My man would be way retired. It reminded me of Loomis, like in 5 and 6, where they're just kind of like.
He was worse than Loomis, bro. He was like, yeah, he was worse.
And I agree with Mike. However, though, I still appreciate that he was still in there because it connects to the original. Oh, yeah. So, yes, I got the same vibes, but I was like, you know what? Thank you anyway. Fuck it. I will take this.
It was nostalgic.
I was good with it, but yeah, it was shoehorned in.
And how are you going to pull a clip of Annie from Halloween 2 if it does not exist?
Halloween 2 does not exist.
I got into it with a back and forth with my buddy Corey about this. If you're going to be bold enough to say the rest of the sequels don't count, then you cannot pull a clip from Halloween 2.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though, and I forgot about it. Was the clip when they're pulling her out of the house and she's already dead?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that, and I'll tell you why. Because I've seen that movie twice. I just seen it again today, and I saw it like about a month ago, so that's why I had to ask that for a reminder. But I do recall that, and I'm okay with that because that would be the logical thing. How else would Bracken know his daughter died? Obviously, during the police investigation, they would discover the body, so I was okay with that because that would still happen regardless. I mean, and that was cool with them reusing the footage from 2. At least I got to see the original actress. Like, to me, it would make no sense to have a stand-in. And again, they only took what would realistically happen in any incident like that. If there was a murder in the house.
That's a fair argument. That's fair.
Cops would still have to exit the body out. It was just a cool wink-wink to the fans to, like, instead of giving me a stand-in actress, you gave me a clip from 2 that would be only relatable to the aftermath of Halloween 1. I'm okay with that.
Another reference to 2 was the damn razor blade in the mouth.
I got that.
Yeah, dude. I was about to get to that right now.
Stop referencing these.
Thank you.
They don't exist. Stop.
Thank you.
But that's fan service, though. That was fan service.
Well, the mob thing, too, was already done in 4.
Yep. And then the masks from Halloween 3.
And 2. There was a, remember, in 2, there was a mob thing, too, because they were like, when Ben Tramer was burning up.
That's true.
You know, they were like throwing rocks at the house. and I like how they just took a lot of these things with, you know, we're all fans of two. It obviously went its own direction, but I still like in this version of Halloween, there were still throwbacks, you know, like, and I would say this, people who read comic books and people who follow comic books, movies, especially like the CW
right.
and DC, we know they consider those
to CW. Be parallel.
Well, yeah, you know, you had like, you know, Superman, Lois, you know,
oh, Supergirl, okay.
But you also have the DC EU as well, too. It just shows there are parallel worlds, right? So to me, this is a parallel world to John Carpenter's 1978, much like you could say Zombie was.
Right, that's already off, you know, that's, you know.
Yeah, so I was cool to see that even in this parallel world, it mirrors to some degree certain things from the other versions that happened prior. So I thought, to me, that was just cool, but that's totally subjective. I'm a comic book guy. I appreciate
I like the callback to the masks from Halloween 3.
Yes.
The fact where when they find out, Allison and Karen find out that Mike's still alive, the acting on that part I thought was strong. Dialogue was decent. The gathering of the town folk to go after Mike with Tommy Doyle was very fake. And Tommy Doyle with the bat doing his best Negan cosplay, I thought was cornball. But the park scene, woo! No, that park scene, here's my money. When he chops the kid's head off, the way he attacks the car, similar to
he did. That was the nurse and the couple.
No, because remember, there was the third kid with the skull mask in three.
Yes.
So the two girls were on the swings.
Yes.
The third child, he had his head in his hand, dripping blood.
But wasn't the head covered with a mask?
Yes. Yeah, so there's three kids. One had the witch mask, one had the pumpkin mask, and then the other kid had the skeleton mask, and Michael had his head, and he was behind the SUV, and then he threw the head. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, someone else was telling me, I talked about that with somebody else, and they were like, no, that wasn't the kid. I wasn't quite sure. You guys say it is the kid?
Yeah, no, it was. I watched it this morning, so yeah.
Which they kid?
The taller kid, and he was rocking the mask the whole time when they did the razor blade.
Cool. Yeah, because he went inside Big John and Little John's home to ransack the candy. And then that's when they told him the story of Michael Myers.
Which the dialogue seemed very Rob Zombie-ish.
I was good with that. I love Rob Zombie.
Of course you were. Of course.
More human.
But anyway, so that park scene I thought was money. That has one of my all-time favorite Michael Myers kills of all time when he kicked the door. She shot herself. Fucking love that.
I'm telling you, they made him like John fucking Wick. After this movie, I will say this. Michael Myers will fuck up anybody. Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, Pinhead, you throw him in front of him, he's going to fuck him up. That dude don't fuck around. He's strategic. And he has no soul. That dude is the darkest thing ever. He will fuck you up. Hands down.
Okay. Yeah.
Say that again.
Said hands down, Michael Myers will fuck anybody up. This movie solidifies him as fucking above everybody. The king among kings will fuck you up.
Nah. All right.
Okay. Who would you put him against?
Jason, of course.
He'll fuck up Jason. 365.
I'm not going to do this fantasy booking with you. I'm not doing fantasy. I'm just here to talk about kills. So, so the fact that she killed Mary, the part that I thought was super corny is where she pulls out the gun about the buck Mike and says, this is for Dr. Loomis. And of course, click, empty. That shit's been done a million and one times.
But here's the thing, though. At least it gives it was a shout out to Donald Pleasance, who's no longer here with us. That was a cool shout out.
But still, do it in a better way, not a corny 1981. Oops, the gun's empty. This shit's been done a thousand times.
It reminded me of Sarah in Resurrection. This one's for Jimmy. This one came out with the chainsaw. You know that type of cringe. You know what I mean?
Yes, very much. So I was not feeling that. So but the score at that time
would have lasted longer.
Plus Arise at least would have done a spin kick and connected.
But the score at that time when he's killing those people in the SUV, The score sounded amazing, dude. Oh,
the score was dope. That was one of the pluses, I think. The score.
Yeah.
Dude, oh, shout absolutely. Out to Cody and John Carpenter, who I think they came with it. Sure. Love the score to this movie.
Shout out.
The exchange with Lindsay and Mike, I thought was very strong, and at least we had some tension and some suspense where her hiding under the bridge.
Yeah,
that was good. I dug that.
And it shows you how good his hearing is. That guy's senses is insane. I think he let her live for whatever reason. He was like, I'll come get you later, but he could hear everything.
I think she got away clean on her own merit. I don't think he let her live.
That's up to debate.
Let me ask you. We don't know what they're doing on the next one, so let's just pretend we don't know. Let's just take what we have right now.
Right.
Is it fair to say we do not and did not need Jamie Lee Curtis if he's not even after her?
Right. I talked about that last time.
So here's the thing. I was okay with it because it shows you that the aftermath of what happened, she had to deal with the failure that for all her preparation, it wasn't enough. And at the end of the movie, before, and I won't say what she says, but I think she kind of alludes that it's bigger than her. I think she finally relented that it's not about her.
They might do an
Emperor's just another swerve. Victim.
They might do an Emperor swerve, you know, from Last Jedi or whatever, and the next one turns out something changed. That links them back up, you know.
Maybe
I'm cool with that.
What links them up now is that he killed her daughter, which we'll get to.
Sure, that's fair.
Right, and that's the link now. That's the link. But it just, I think we're also gonna. I think she was about to tell the sheriff that she was the one who let you know that did something, and then he said, "It's my fault. I should have killed him." I'm jumping ahead, but. I still think that she was responsible for him getting loose on the bus.
I like your theory. I do like that.
Yeah.
You know?
So I like this. Where was it? I think it's funny how her name, the daughter's name is Karen. And I don't know if and she's rocking a Christmas sweater and it's Halloween. I thought that was kind of funny. let's see. I thought Allison is the strongest and most interesting character and out of Halloween 2018. And. Kills. I just think that she's very fleshed out, and I think she has a good final girl vibes. I think I really like
her. Right back.
I agree. Although, I will say this though. I'm glad she got her ass whooped because I didn't like so. Your dad gets killed, your grandmother did all this preparation, he still gets loose, and then you want to act like a badass, and then you go in there and get your
ass whooped. She's trying to protect her man.
But here's the thing though. Typical dumb kids thinking they know better when their father told them, hey man, something goes awry, jut out. And look what happened. They thought they knew better. Now her boyfriend's dead because he didn't listen. You know what I mean? And had she not been in that house, her mother might still be alive.
But like you said, it's a movie, so that's gotta happen.
Oh, you're right. I know it's a movie. That was my only gripe, but that's again, typical teenager. But that being said, I agree with you in all that you said. She was a great final girl in this movie. She's very charismatic, and I'm still rooting for her, even though I was kind of pissed off at her some of her decisions. Very charismatic.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to her.
How are we on time, Mike?
Yeah, I don't know, but it gave me a gift. It said we're going to be able to surpass the 40 minutes if need be.
Okay, cool.
All right.
I don't see it. All right. That's what sucks, though. I don't.
So I like the fact that he left the bodies out. That's very Michael Myers 101. It was fucking chef's kiss having the bodies laying out. I dug that. That's, you know, he's done that throughout most of the movies, and I love when
But they did it smart though. You know what I mean? You know, some of the other prior movies, they were kind of haphazard about it. You couldn't distinguish the bodies being laid out if it was either him or Jason that did it. To me, he already had a sense of style about it. Well, okay, you know, any slasher movie.
Okay.
They were always set the bodies out like, you know, in a disturbing way. But the Halloween movies always did it with a sense of flair, in my opinion. And it was great to see that they did put some care in how they went about doing it in this movie. Like it was.
That was dope. I love that.
It was Little John, Big John, they saw that. I'm sorry.
Little John and Big John.
Yeah, well, Little John, Big John, the kids in the playground, you know, the adults in the playground, like, I just thought, like, they took a good aspect of early 80s slasher films that was started in Halloween, and they really embraced that, and you can see they were fans of that, and they really put a lot of care and attention to that to make it kind of, with some flair, just added some flair to it, and I was just really appreciative of little details like that in this movie.
Yeah. I didn't like the back and forth with Laurie and the cop and talking about Ben Tramer. I mean, I know that was fan service and I'm all good with it, but I just, again, the dialogue does nothing for me. The subplot hospital shit kills the movie dead in its tracks. I'll let you touch on it. But the whole the dialogue with Tommy Doyle, Brackett, Evil Dies Tonight, awful. It was the sound bites for a trailer. You know what I mean? Like that, you know, you'll hear the music tonight. Evil dies tonight on, you know, October 31st or whatever the fuck. I thought it was awful.
I actually like how you did that.
Apex Predator. I'll let you talk on it. Hold on. The whole Apex Predator shit. You know what I'm saying? That's all soundbite talk.
That was whack. The Apex Predator shit. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, that's all. How like when you're that's like a pitch for a movie or the trailer. That's whack.
Vito, you know, is there anything you did not like in this movie?
Spawn and I were talking about. I guess Spawn thing. My only one gripe I had was I was annoyed by Cameron and Alice not listening, which. On a side note, do you think Alice was a throwback to the Final Call girl in the first Friday movie? Just saying.
Wait.
Possibly. Alice?
No, but she's Alice's son. She's not Alice.
Oh, my bad. Oh, that was my fuck up, folks. Sorry. no, my only – and again, it was just typical teenagers not listening, thinking they know more, trying to – you know. That was about it because had they listened to the father, Lonnie, Cameron would still be alive. And her mom – and I was telling Spawn this – her mom would still be alive. Because what happened, her mom went to go get her from the Myers house, right? Had she stayed in the hospital and been with her mom, Karen would have never got killed. She would have never been around that area in the first place.
Looking at this logistically, I'm going to jump to that scene real quick. If you guys noticed, you guys watched multiple times. I don't know how Mike – that's probably a dream or something because I don't know how Mike gets back in the house because the front and everything was flooded with firemen and cops – probably surrounding the sides of the house. So.
But the back door was still open from when he snuck in. So
I hope
like,
it's not,
like that whole
I would feel cheated.
Right.
If it's a dream, you feel cheated?
I would feel cheated because you know what? I think it adds to a tragic connection between him and Laurie Strode. She lost her daughter. Everything she was
That's the connection for part three.
Maybe he scaled the roof like in four.
But no, here's the thing. Laurie Strode spent her most of her life post-1978 in preparation for this night to protect her daughter and now granddaughter, and that failed. And if that's a dream, they better do it in a real fucking clever way because I would feel cheated as a fan because I thought that was like, wow, that just ended on such a dark Empire Strikes Back note. That's up there with Luke losing his hand and finding out Darth Vader, his father. Her daughter, her, and who knows, nothing worse is when you have an estranged relationship with the one thing that you love the most, your child. All Lori wanted to do was protect her. And at the end of the day, the monster she was protecting her from still took her daughter away from her in the worst way possible.
Speaking of Lori, I thought her stabbing herself, getting herself hyped up to go do something to Mike was corny. That's some Sarah Connor bullshit. We've seen it before. And then she says this.
Right.
Hold on. So she says this. She says, let him take my head as I take his. So that is some Game of Thrones bullshit dialogue.
I liked it.
I know you did. Get the fuck out of here. It's garbage.
That shit is not garbage. That shit is dramatic.
That shit is
it's empowering.
Garbage.
I love the whole drama of it.
Let him take thou head as I take thou his head.
Fuck out of here.
I love the poeticness of it.
I'm with you there, E. That was super whack right there.
Thank you.
My opinion, but.
Okay, so at Big John and Little John's house, the blood on the wall was like super red, like when he snuck it through the back, and it looked like 1978 Dawn of the Dead red. Like just
red. I like that. That was dope. First of all, Spawn and I, we love Dawn of the Dead.
Blood. This is 2021. The blood's got to look realistic, not fucking.
That's a horror movie.
The shit was this color, dude. The red was this color. You know what I mean? Come on.
I like Spider-Man. I like Spider-Man red.
Shout out the bus arrives. Yes. Big John grabs Big John grabs like, it looks like a nail file. You know what I'm saying? When Mike's upstairs, Little John grabs a big knife. It's like they're playing Marco Polo. Huh?
It was a charcuterie knife.
Yeah, is that what it is? It's going to be damaged?
You never had a meat and cheese board with wine before.
But I never... Come on. You think you're going to kill somebody with that knife?
Again, you can shank someone in jail. That would fuck a lot of people up.
Why does Little John not run? Why does he walk? Or why does he stand there, I guess?
And he says the most corniest line of the movie again. Michael, you've come home. Come on, Vito. You can't co-sign that.
I like Big John.
Of course. Okay, so it's like they were playing Marco Polo. They're like, Big John, Little John. Big John, Little John. I was waiting for Little John to go, okay.
I thought that was humorous. I like the interplay of those two characters. I thought they were great.
They're fine. I have no problem with those characters. It's just, the dialogue is garbage, dude.
The dialogue actually translates over into some of the actions in the movie, like old girl in the mob with an iron. Did you guys see that?
I forgot to look for that when I watched that today.
You see it?
No, I didn't see it.
I got to send you guys the still shot of that, but I noticed it the second time I saw it.
You sent it. Yeah, you sent it. Yeah.
I was making tacos. Taco Thursday. It's the second movie to get ready for tonight.
So, again, the hospital scene is worthless. The second hospital scene where it reminded me of in The Last Jedi where Finn and Rose go to the Kento Bike Casino terms of a scene that could be a subplot that could have been on the editing room floor. Wow. Because
wait a minute.
Worthless.
The Last Jedi.
No, I disowned all three of the other Star Wars.
You can't do that.
All three.
I thought you.
Me and Joe. No. Okay, so me and Joe been talking. We have to do a re-up on the Star Wars.
Me and Joe have no
love for the final three.
We got you on tape. You love Last Jedi.
I co-signed it at the time. So me and Joe were talking a few months ago, and we no longer have love for none of the final three.
Shit.
You can't say that.
I say it with
63 people like our video. You're gonna fuck it up. Take that shit back.
Sorry. So anyway, even when I did like Last Jedi, I hated the Kendo Bite system, the casino scene. Even when I did like the Last Jedi,
it was fine.
No, it wasn't. That whole scene of the hospital with the penguin jumping out the window was worthless, stupid. And then
it was a great analogy and commentary on today's society. People,
I don't want that in my Halloween film.
To me, my opinion, it made the movie messier, like dude's body on the ground. It just made it splatter, just kind of everywhere. And I agree,
but I think it also represented the chaotic moment. This movie was about chaos itself.
I saw their
chaos
point.
Out the yeah, box, and point. How this guy. Even when he's not around these people, he's created this chaotic situation for this whole town by him coming back.
Okay. And you know what? I stand corrected, too.
They could have conveyed that better. The way they did it was juvenile and mediocre. It was bad.
Danny McBride will never invite you to one of his movies.
I don't give a fuck.
He's supposed to be in the next one somewhere, too.
Yes. Danny McBride rules.
No, I love Danny McBride. I'm a fan of his, but... They just dropped the ball. Now, and again, let me get to the dialogue. Again, it reminded me of Last Jedi as well, the dialogue. So, evil dies tonight. Michael, you've come home, whack. And then it reminds me of like, it's time for the Jedi to end.
It was.
And, you know, the spark that will light the fire, that will burn the order down. It's just bad dialogue, and it's just
dry. I'm going to get that on my arm.
Get it on your neck, bro. Get it on your neck. Get a face tat.
I will.
With Danger Entertainment on your torso.
No, I'm going to get that on my stomach, like Thugger style.
Again, the flashback, I could take those or leave it. I mean, they don't really – I don't hate them. I don't love them. They're fine. You know, I know you like the flashback.
That was an awkward moment of silence. But, yes, I did enjoy the flashback quite a bit.
I thought it was frozen.
I thought that shit was just dope. Like I said, I think everybody who's watching this knows, again, this is all subjective, everybody. So whatever your take is, no one's right or wrong. This is all for entertainment. And again, this is all amongst friends, too. you got three people on here who have three different perspectives on this movie. But I will say this, though, even with our subjective opinions, I'm so happy we got a Halloween movie. You know what I mean? And I'm glad that we're still talking about this franchise in 2021. And this thing started back, what, 43 years ago? So to me.
Well, of course. I mean, that's why we're here. But yeah, we got to examine what we got. And that's what we're here for. You know? So, but.
And what we got was dope.
No. It was, I loved it to a certain point, but the dialogue is the absolute drizzling shits. You know what I'm saying?
I think the dialogue, though, is made for a younger generation. I think it's made for the Generation Z folks out there, and I'm totally.
Well, why? The biggest fan base is people our age.
Actually, that fan base enjoys a lot of our stuff. They're growing up on it.
These movies. Then give them something good. Don't give them whack dialogue.
Well, the dialogue.
We are the spark that will light the fire that'll burn the first order. Again,
that generation is about that message, though. That generation is all about that message, and they like that. At least I'm assuming they like it because their money's, huh?
Oh, girl with the drone. To me, that scene was crunchy too. It was just corny.
Oh, you didn't like that scene?
I thought that was dope.
Before the kills. Laurie Strode will fuck you up. Don't talk shit about.
Yeah.
I was okay with it, but I mean,
I agree with you, Mike. I agree with you. Obviously, Vito likes everything. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing, though. I will say it. So Spawn was saying who likes that dialogue. I'm gonna say, well, I think the Generation Z group, because you know what? That movie came in number one for what, 2 weeks in a row or 1 week? I can't remember. I know it did what 50 plus million on its first week, which was about close to $20 million more than its initial projections. It knocked it out the park. Young people are all about that. I mean, they're definitely much more money drivers than we are in our generation at this point in time.
It's a fun
because
ride.
They have more disposable income.
Yeah. It's a fun ride. So, Mike, let me ask you, what did you think about the second flashback?
Which one was that?
That's the one where they're talking about, you know, it was an accident and they're, you know, about shooting the cop in the neck and they're trying to.
I thought it was. I didn't have a problem with that. I thought it was kind of interesting, actually. To carry that kind of guilt, that's a lot of guilt to carry. Because realistically, that deputy was dead, either from Michael or the bullet obviously hitting him in the neck. Because Michael was standing, I don't think he would have hit Michael. You know what I mean? So I think for Hawkins to carry that guilt plus to cover it up kind of layers his character a lot more. I like him a little better now because of that. But I didn't have a problem with it at all. Did you?
You know what I like, too? If I can jump in there. I like that, so what I like about that, too, we talked about this in the prior movies, too. The cops are synonymous with Halloween. You know what I mean? They're always there. So it was great to see that how impacted they are on their side, too, and in particular, this sheriff carrying that guilt. You know what I mean? Lori kills her victim guilt. This officer does too, and we talked about it, you know, especially with four. It's great to always see with one, with two, four, and, you know, a lot of the Halloween movies. You always see the law enforcement played a big part in the original series, and it was great to see that.
Even the zombie ones.
Yeah, even the zombie ones. And it was great to see the law enforcement, one of their own, a victim of Michael Myers, carrying that stigma, that effect of him. You know what I mean?
Let me jump in real quick. I want to quote Spawn from the 2018 episode where you said, the police in 2018 were the most inept, I think is what you said. Are you there, Spawn? Are you free? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. No, I'm listening.
You said they were the most inept in the series, right, from 2018?
Right.
Now, to take that a little further, look at the flashback from Halloween Kills when they flash back to 78. Did you see the police force going after Michael in 78 compared to sending Hawkins into the house in 2018?
It's right. Absurd. Yeah.
It's absurd. You know what I mean? So that just, to me, again, translates over into, you know, more absurdity as far as, especially now in 2018, well, in 2018, whatever year it's going to be.
But right.
To have one guy go in, you know. Yeah. But in 78, exactly. You know, force, I don't know.
Right. One thing that I thought was very stupid is where Tommy Doyle goes to Brackett. How do we know it's not him? I mean, Mike is like 6'2", 6'3", and the fucking penguin dude who fell out, you know, that jumped out the window is like 5'9". You know what I mean?
Last time Tommy Doyle saw Michael Myers, he was 10 years old, so he doesn't know was he really that tall or not.
I'm with Vito there just because of paranoia and chaos.
Right.
You don't really sit there and look and go, okay, well, he's 8 inches in that kind of...
Right, in that time frame. I get it. Okay, good point.
I'm with you there. You know, right. If you were to stop and look, but, you know, if they said a tall white dude is breaking into my house and it's actually a, you know, tall Puerto Rican kid...
Right, well, I got to be Puerto Rican. Why I got to be Puerto Rican?
You know what I mean?
So, well, I got to be Puerto Rican, brother.
There you go.
But here's the thing, though, on that, too. It also caught Tommy Doyle, a.k.a. Farmer Ted. Those who don't know that reference, go do your homework. He knew he fucked up somewhere.
Right.
He knew he fucked up.
That a little bit of weird science going on?
Exactly. You know, he was like, where the hell is Chet at in this? Help me out here. Is it Chet or is it Michael Myers?
Again, my biggest gripe, dialogue, the dialogue between Laurie and the sheriff I thought was weak, and they just talk in sound bites. They don't talk like real people converse.
By the way, back to weird science, Wyatt and Anthony Michael Hall, they should have been, man, they should have been taking care of business with old girl. They didn't do it once.
No, but they did shower together.
They were scared. They were scared because they knew Steven Seagal was going to fuck them up.
Right. But yeah, man.
I thought the Lonnie Allison Cameron when they go to Meyer's house, the whole tension where Lonnie's like, "Yo, son, you know, I'll what do you say to him? Like, I'll catch you on the rebound or something like that." And I thought that it was, I don't know, he didn't need to cry, he didn't need to shed a tear, but I thought that was a very strong moment, at least for me. And then when Allison and Cameron get fucked up. When Michael Myers fucks up Cameron, I wanted that really bad in 2018. When I got it, I felt bad for Cameron because he got fucked up. I mean, like, really bad, dude.
It was
like,
a good kill.
You know, I mean, it, and then, like, I love how he was like, Allison, she put, like, you know, I finally got some authentic emotion and believable dialogue from Allison where she's like, come get me, motherfucker. And then so Mike starts to make his way down the stairs and he pauses, stops, and breaks this motherfucker's neck. Oh, man. So
and
good.
And he shoves it through a fucking broken piece of wood.
Say what?
And then he shoves it through a broken piece of wood in the stairway, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like, he twists it and then isn't it like a broken piece of wood on the stairway and he just fucking jabs it in there to fucking finish it? Or did I...
I think you might have got that mixed up with the older couple. Did he break him? Like, I'm not sure, but either regardless, both those kills amazing. Again, Allison, huh?
Did you find out if that was the same lady working in 2018? As
I did it. I forgot to look it up, but I think it is.
I'm gonna look it up.
I love Allison in that scene where she's like, "Come get me, kill me, do it." Like, I just love all the emotions she brought out of it. Again. Excellent final girl qualities. I love that character. Ooh. She's one of the best things.
Final girl qualities? You think so?
I think she has a good strong quality. Vito, I know Vito's going to co-sign, but I think she has a
Final girl. I was telling Spawn this. Yeah, she has great final girl qualities. The teenage aspect of it was annoying because, again, she was making dumb teenager decisions in terms of the storyline, but we've all been teenagers ourselves too. She's finally trying to show hers, even though she's completely outclassed by this dude.
Absolutely.
But I do like the charisma of the actress. And even though I was frustrated with the decisions, and again, it's not the actress's fault. Again, it's just the storytelling element. I felt her charisma and acting still made her very likable, and I was rooting for her regardless.
Exactly.
And I hope to see. I hope her story to continue. And I hope that they do a good. The script does right by her, by the actress.
I agree.
Okay, so
I like when Karen shows up with the pitchfork, and she gives him the curb stomp. You know, I thought that was fine.
Shout out to Friday 13th Part 2. That was still reminded me of Friday 13th.
No, 3 is the pitchfork. Part 3 is the pitchfork. 3.
Oh, okay. Either way, you know what I'm talking about, folks.
In the barn, right?
Yeah.
That was 3.
Yeah. Okay, so then when Michael gets jumped, I thought that was dope. The only part I didn't like about when Mike got jumped was when she brings up the sister. I just thought
Michael Myers is not a sound bite.
Yo, Spawn, your audio cut out again.
Some kind of celebrity scandal. Michael Myers is a killer shark, baggy ass overalls.
We should add, when you edit this, Mike, you should throw in like some sort of like different dialogue for him.
Okay, Where did you leave me off?
The sister. So the sister.
Oh, when she brought up the sister, I thought that shit was corny. Again, the bad dialogue. Huh?
What sister?
So she says, I'm a helpless woman, just like your sister, yada, yada, yada.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, new dialogue and shitty dialogue, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? And then he chases her, which I dug.
Michael Myers is smart, like we argued earlier.
Right.
Did he really fall for that shit?
I don't think so. I think he would have sensed it.
I don't think he'd give a shit one way or another. Like, he's like, that statement would not resonate with him. He don't give a fuck. He don't give a shit. Like, to him, he'd be like, and?
Yeah, I don't remember my sister. I killed her so long. You know, it's nothing.
No, he'd be like, I do remember. It means nothing to me. He has a dark, his soul is so dark and tainted. He don't care.
Yep. Right, which is why I don't think the cops would have halted him in the front yard.
Well, it was a younger version, too, though.
Wow.
He was this is an older man.
Reaching, brother.
This is an older man.
Reaching.
Who is just, he's going for his at 60,
like Michael on the roof.
Old. He's basically the pit bull let loose off his leash, you know. And I did like
the apex predator.
Yes, and I liked how when he put on his mask again,
that part was dope.
He puts on his mask kind of like how Batman would, and he went to town on motherfucker. Well,
no, not yet. He got fucked up. So now when they jump him, they do it all together. They fuck him up, jump him, right? Then all of a sudden, he slices dude's throat. And then it becomes a John Wick movie, and then you lost me.
Well, that's because Laurie touched upon what it is. He something
now that I know dialogue is whack.
I thought that shit was dope.
Shout out James U. Courtney, though. He did his thing either way, all the way.
No, he was amazing. Yeah. But, no, the performances were fine. I just thought the dialogue was bad, and that's my biggest gripe of this movie. The dialogue was awful. Everything else was beautiful. I have no complaints about everything else besides the dialogue.
I will say this.
It made me appreciate 2018 more.
Right.
And I'll say this. You know, I like for the very first time in the series, they acknowledge that he's supernatural. Now, the director has since kind of want to backtrack that statement. I don't know if didn't want to get pigeonholed or whatever, but the dialogue that Laurie gave finally announces to the audience what we've always felt. He is something supernatural.
Well, that's her opinion of it, right? Is that
fair? I agree. That's her opinion of it, but that's the first time the series has finally acknowledged that outside of Dr. Loomis. Yeah. No, Dr. Loomis always told us that, but we dismissed that. Laurie solidifies that. The director kind of backpedaled on that. I don't know why. Maybe he didn't want to get pigeonholed, but I hope he didn't fuck it up for the third movie.
But
I would say this, though. Only a supernatural being would still be alive after the injuries he's suffered. He would have bled to death at some point. From the hand injury to the multiple gunshot wound, to the gunshot wounds, to the stabbings. You know, he should have been dead or too weak to do anything, but he got stronger.
To be fair, Freddie did warn us that Michael is a killer shark.
Yes, he did.
Shout out, Buzz.
Yes,
Buzz.
He did.
Yo, so I just thought that it was very stupid. Well, I thought it was very stupid that they took turns. After they jump him, then they take turns one-on-one when he gets up instead of continuing jumping.
Well, because they want their vengeance. He took some people that they loved, so they're all taking vengeance.
Everyone jump him at the same time like you were doing? It worked.
Well, they're not gang members. They don't know the rules. Shit.
How did And even Tommy.
I'm trying to have a good, breakdown. Yeah.
Tommy Doyle.
How
did he get so close enough to get murked like that? You would think he would have.
He should have known better.
Farmer Ted should have had Wyatt by his side, and he probably would have lived.
He should have known better.
Where was Lisa to back up Wyatt on this one? Lisa would have never let that happen.
Okay, so Mike, what are your final thoughts on the Halloween Kills?
Okay, so final thoughts. Before ends, right?
Right.
This is just based on...
But what you got.
I was extremely disappointed in it. It made me appreciate 2018 more, as I mentioned. Most of your points, I agree with. Corny, cringy. But the highlights for me were the score, James U. Courtney, the kills... And it's part of the family.
Right.
So, yes, sir.
But that's just
what about you, V? All in all,
you know, take my money, you know.
Right.
Another one, take my money. Either way, you know.
Right. What about you, V?
9.5 out of 10
Are you serious?
Oh, I fucking love this movie. It was everything I wanted and then some. Okay. No joke. But you know, again, I judge this on its own merits. I also, you know, when I mean by own merits, you know, the franchise that's working in, and I mean that in terms of the reboot, the era that it came out in, 2021. I mean, and I you see and hear Spawn's points of view, and they're all valid. But then again, it's art. Like I said, I've always said, it's art is subjective. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I know this was catered to a younger audience, and I'm totally happy with that, because you know what? That younger audience now will inherit things that we enjoyed, and we'll keep this going. You know, and these slasher villains, Freddy, Michael, Jason, Pinhead, they're now the modern day Draculas, Frankenstein, the Mummy, the Wolfman. These deserve to be continued on for many more decades in cinema, and I hope they do. So again, I like this iteration of it, and I'm totally great that they paid homage to the original. I was very happy with everything. So for me, 9.5. Yeah.
All right, Spawn, you want to do your kind of summary?
Yeah. So all right, so we'll end it on our list of 1 through 12, and I'll start from 12, work my way up.
So the worst to the first, and this is all
worst subjective. To first.
This isn't saying
all subjective. This is Eric's list.
Eric's list. All right.
Yep, and then this is Iron Mike's, and then Vito's list, and this is just, you know, how I'm. This is my love for it, not by the best, but my personal preference.
All right.
So I'm gonna start with the absolute drizzling shits, the worst one, Trick or Treat, motherfucker, Resurrection, Halloween, ooh. Resurrection at the
that
bottom.
That was so
of the list.
Harsh.
Number 12, awful.
Worse than 5? Wow. Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This is the worst. That's the worst one. Because 5 it still has my man Loomis. So,
okay.
You know, I always will ride with that one a lot higher. Halloween 6. Halloween 6 is number 11. I think that's awful. I have a new name for it. It's called the girth of Michael Myers, because he's gained so much weight in that one. He walks like the same way I do from the dining room table to the couch when I'm full.
Women love dad bods these days.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, Halloween Curse of Michael Myers, about 11. Halloween 5 is number 10. That's just the only one scene that's redeemable is when he's wearing that one other mask and he's driving the chick in the car. I still think that's a strong part. So number 9, Halloween 2, the Rob Zombie. I the kills and the way it's filmed, top notch. Dialogue and what they did to Loomis, unacceptable. And the fact that they gave me a dream sequence opening scene puts it at the bottom, in the bottom 9. Halloween Zombie 1, again, I love all the actors in it. I just don't like the execution. I just feel that he took the easy way to get to where he had to go. The fact that Michael came from a broken home, very, you know, it was just a layup. You know what I mean? So, but the backstory, I really loved the prequel part. Then after that, Halloween 2018. I love that little sequence where he just goes on a killing spree in the neighborhood. And that to me will be forever iconic in Michael Myers lore. I really dug that. And but just some of the decisions they made and some of the dialogue I wasn't 100% on board with. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. If this was 25 years ago, this would have been at the bottom. But within time and just giving something a chance, I love Halloween Season 3, Season of the Witch. If anyone hasn't seen it, and the reason they haven't seen it is because there's no Michael Myers, give it a chance. It's a tremendous movie. And then number 5, Halloween Kills. And the reason why Halloween Kills is so high up is because Michael Myers killing. And I just thought the violence was top notch. And I loved all the death and the carnage. It was just impeccable. And then number 4, to me, Halloween H2O. I really had a good time when I saw it in the theater. I still could throw it on, and it's an easy watch. It's a fun watch. It's a comfortable watch. I love that one. My number 3, Halloween 4, Return of Michael Myers. At that time, when that came out in 88, I was a diehard Freddy Krueger fan. So when Halloween 4 came out, it kind of took Freddy's place, and it kind of, I went into more realistic type horror than Freddy's, supernatural type horror. So it kind of took its place at that time. I was really into part four. I thought it was, I still think it has the best ending of any horror, any Halloween movie, in my opinion. If you watch 1, 2, 4, I think it's a nice little trilogy that complement each other. And then even though it's the best movie of the whole 12, my second favorite is 1978. But it's the best one of all 12 of them. It's a masterpiece. It's the White Album of horror movies. The Led Zeppelin Stairway to Heaven of horror movies is just perfection. But my personal favorite and my number one is Halloween 2 from 1981. And it's just because all the personal memories, and it was the first one that I saw. And I just think it's excellent. Even though there's a couple things I would take out, I still love Halloween 2, 1981, the best. So that's my top 12. Vito, what you got?
So my order will go like this from worst to first. I'll start with the theatrical cut of Halloween 6. Wow. And we've already talked about our reasonings for all this, so I'm going to keep mine nice and sweet. That would be followed up by Halloween 5. Although, I still like it. I'm just...
Well, we enjoy all of them.
From weakest to strongest. After Halloween 5, I am going to put Resurrection on there. People that hung me, I didn't put 4. So I recently got the 4K editions of Halloween 1 through 5. And you know what's crazy? The 4K transfer really showed how beautiful the cinematography was on Halloween 4. Like, it made Halloween 4 a stronger visually. It really went up a notch for me on Halloween 4. So nice. I had to put Resurrection. Resurrection, still a dope movie, but if you get a chance, you guys, keep out Scream Factory's 4K edition of Halloween 4, even 5. 5 looks tremendous, but the colors in 4, the cinematography, really pops. Like, it was enough for me to be like, the movie was showing to me in a whole new light. The transfer did wonders for me. So that's why I'm going with Resurrection. After Resurrection, it would be, I hate to say this, but I'm going to have to go with Halloween 6, the producer's cut. It pains me to say that, but again, I still love it. After that, this gets hard for me. And again, this goes up and down with me. So I'm going to, for right now, I'm going to say Rob Zombie's Halloween, and then I'm going to go Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
I thought Halloween 6 producers was your 12. Was it not? Did I hear that wrong?
I did the theatrical.
Gotcha. So I split Halloween up, Halloween 6 up in 2, theatrical and producers.
Okay, gotcha.
I prefer producers, but if I had to go for a personal preference at this point, yeah, I'm going to put Halloween producers cut, then Halloween, Rob Zombie's Halloween, then Rob Zombie's H2. And here's the thing about H2. It's an art film to me. It's an art film. I really like the cinematic choices he made. Not everybody agrees with it, but he really, in my opinion, made a midnight movie and it was very full of creative ideas. Whether those ideas or not were things that you guys agreed with or liked, at least he really decided to take a big chance and not make a traditional sequel. Then at this point, after Halloween 2, H2, Rob Zombies, I would go with Halloween 4. No, I'm going to switch it. I'm going to go with 2018 Halloween, then Halloween 4, 2021's Halloween Kills, and then I'm going to round it up with Halloween 3, Halloween 2, Halloween 1.
Okay.
Nice.
That's how I'm going to go with it. And again, the choices are hard because I love them all, but...
It's hard. Yeah, it is hard.
It just, you know what? And again, this is just... These lists are subjective on my mood, and then Halloween 4 is ranked higher even above 2018 because the cinematography, it really made me appreciate that movie so much more. Like, it looked like a first-class movie to me. Like, it just really helped that movie so much, in my opinion. Like, I've, like, it was a night and day difference with me when I got it. I was like, wow, I now saw what Spawn sees in that movie. Even with all its shortcomings, it was a well-made film. It just, I don't think it never got the love in terms of the transfers prior to this 4K. So, shout out to Screen Factory. If you get a chance, get them while you can, folks. It's worth the double dip.
What you got, Iron Mike?
Okay, we're going to go 12. So the bottom of the barrel for me is 5.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was just...
doo-doo.
That wouldn't even be in my rotation, dude. And then so 11 is going to be 6. And then number 10 coming in strong is 4.
Oof. That was a punch in the balls, brother.
Well, yeah. So what do we got?
That was a spin kick.
Okay. Now, again, these are, we already discussed it, these are just my favorites, rotations type of thing. So coming in at number 9 is Zombie 2. Okay. And then 8. This was kind of. Yeah. Fuck it. 8 is going to be Halloween 3 for me.
Okay.
I left out H2O by mistake, folks. I love H2O, but H2O. I already did my list, so go on with it, Iron Mike.
Okay. Okay, so 7 will be – see, I want to switch that out too.
It's hard sometimes, huh? Because when you think about it, it's like the love is like – how do you – you know what I mean? I feel you. Yeah. I feel you.
Halloween Kills, but see, I'd probably swap that out. So we'll just go 7 is Halloween Kills. My number 6 is 2018. Number 5 – is the first Zombie. You know, that was at a time where I needed another Halloween, and just very nostalgic for me. Now, I know the backstory is an issue for a lot of people, but and plus that making, I count that making, that 4-hour making with the movie.
Yes, that was dope.
That's a whole different story.
Incredible.
Yeah, okay, I agree. So
on a side note, when you realize what goes into making a film, sometimes it enriches the movie for you when you see the journey that it took to even get there.
That's a good point.
Now, 4, number 4 for me is Resurrection. Shout out Bus a Bus.
Attaboy.
Shout out Bus a Bus. Resurrection's my shit, man. I'm telling you. Okay. Number 3, though, you know, 10 years ago, this would have been different, but H2O. H2O is my number 3. Very strong movie with one of the weaker masks and probably one of the weaker Michaels, but I just, you know, I dig it. And then 2 is going to be number 2, and then 1 is going to be 1.
Attaboy.
There it is. Shout out,
there you go, folks. Yeah. There you go. Danger Tainment for life, motherfuckers.
Yes, sir. All day, bro.
Pick a treat, motherfucker. Be on the lookout for our Nightmare on Elm Street omnibus coming soon.
Yeah, I got to get
that.
Do a podcast near you. We'll have to. You guys are already pretty straight on that. I'm the one that needs to get in there.
It's on HBO Max.
I got to jump in there, too. Here's the thing. Freddie actually gives me nightmares, so I'm not looking forward to reviewing the movies.
Really?
Yeah, you know, it's weird. That's the only one. The only one that haunts me, to be honest with you. And it's funny. E for the longest time, he couldn't watch The Exorcist, and I could watch that and fall asleep, no problem. But with something about Nightmare, though, it just some bad nightmares. So no
problem. I can't wait. I can't wait to get to see what happens. See if he what nightmares.
I might just do the documentary and just do like the information part of it and let you rock with it. It is cheating. I will puss out on this one possibly.
Oh, dude.
All right, fellas. Well, let me go ahead and close this out because I don't know when this thing's gonna end. But look out for Zombies 1 and 2 episode that we did a while ago. It should drop either tonight or tomorrow morning. Probably tomorrow morning.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. Thanks again. That was a great discussion.
All right.
Yeah, that was dope. That was dope. I can't wait for E to show up. Like I showed up, E's going to come in pretty decked out for Nightmare for Freddy.
Oh, no. I just have a shirt and a hat that go.
No.
Freddy mask. I don't do that. I don't do gimmicks.
You know, I knew I should have went to the Spirit Halloween shop and got the fucking sweater, hat, and glove myself.
Amazon. Go Amazon it, brother, because I'm rocking a Dream Warriors shirt and a hat. So
I wonder if I can go to the Halloween Superstore still off on the 5 and go pick something up. But they have like, they're thinking things are 20% off, but usually their costumes are kind of hit or miss, though.
There you go. All right, fellas, take care.
All right. Gentlemen, have a good one.
Thanks again. All right. Now. Bye.